Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Be heard by calling 401-737-1287. Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI. We're back to Cordishy and Coit on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
Welcome back to Cordishy and Coit on Sports Radio 103.7 FM, WEEI. Scott Cordishy and Nick Coit with you. Nick, before we get back to the calls, you know, you look at the way the Patriots performed in that opener against Pittsburgh. Man, was that impressive. It was, to me, it was another example of literally Mike Tomlin plays checkers while Bill Belichick plays chess. I mean, it was just, it was embarrassing how different it appeared the two teams were prepared for that game. I mean, did you kind of come across thinking the same thing?
It was a no-show.
It was embarrassing to watch with that Steeler performance.
It's horrible. No, it was horrible. It was, yeah, the Pats, we felt like the Pats were ready to go in camp, especially the defense, and that was proven to be correct on Sunday. The defense was ready to go, and it was aided by the fact that, you're right, the offense for the Steelers had nothing in that game. It was just... oh, they couldn't move the ball. And the Patriots' offense, after about the first drive, I think the first drive, it sort of took them, you know, one drive to get going. And once the Pats' offense started clicking, it started clicking. And they got the receivers involved, and they got creative with their running backs. And, you know, I loved seeing those two-pack sets where, you know, outside the numbers on the left, you see James White lined up out wide. And then out to the right, out wide is Rex Burkhead. And you're like, wow. You know, there's just so many guys that they can use, you know, in this offense. And so that's why it's just so interesting that they would go and they would sign Antonio Brown, because you already have a stacked group of skill players to work with on the field, and then you add this guy, and
that's my question. So look, I don't want to overreact to what we saw in one game,
right?
But really it begs the question, do the Patriots need this guy? Do they really need this guy? Did they need to add him to the roster? And so, and look, I might be crazy in thinking this or saying this, but I'd be lying to you if I didn't say when they signed him, after watching them perform in week one against Pittsburgh Sunday night, I'm gonna be truthful here. The thought went through my mind, is Belichick trying to go make a run at another perfect season?
Oh, boy.
Like, I'm serious. I'm serious. The thought entered my mind, like, is it? Do they actually think that? Okay, we missed out in 07 on perfection. Is this what we're trying to do again here, bringing in Antonio Brown, the next Randy Moss here, and we're going to try to run the table this time? Come on, tell me that thought didn't cross your mind.
Maybe not.
Be honest with
maybe
me.
Not Sunday, but at some point this week, absolutely, that thought. Sure, that thought came up because of what you're adding to an already stacked team. And at the current moment, you know, the wide receiving core, you know, as you said, Scott, a couple weeks ago, we were looking at it and saying, who's going to play receiver for the Patriots? And then all of a sudden you get Josh Gordon, at the time, Demaryius Thomas, and Julian Edelman, you know, into the mix. And then you also drafted a kid in the first round, too. And so it was like there were so many, you know, pieces you already had, and now you go out and you add this guy, you're like, you know, how unstoppable can this offense be? And there's a long season to go, and, you know, we're going to have to see if Josh Gordon stays on the field for a full season. That's going to be a factor here. You know, it's going to be a factor with what happens with Antonio Brown, with guys staying healthy, all those things, but the rich get richer here. That's what it is in terms of talent on the field. Because do they need this guy, Antonio Brown? I don't think so. I don't think they need him to go out and win another Super Bowl. You won one last year, and you had, you know, a very similar team, probably minus Rob Gronkowski. That's probably the biggest, you know, guy that you is not on the roster anymore, that you're without. But, yeah, do they need him? No. But, yeah, and I don't want to entertain it because, I don't know, it's just there's just some bad bad memories that come up, you know, in terms of thinking about that season and the way it ended. You know, I'm scarred for it as a, you know, as somebody who's followed the Patriots for a long time and was a fan in college at the time.
Man, you know, that was a fun season, though. I know it didn't end the way that we wanted, but you can't tell me that that wasn't a fun, fun season when they ran the table. I mean, think about that Giants game at the end of the regular season. That was a nail biter.
Yeah.
I mean, most of them were blowouts, but then that Giants game was like, whoa.
Yeah.
I mean, and then trying to run at perfection, trying to finish it off at 19-0. It's like,
yeah,
wow, that would have.
I know.
It left a mark. Mm. Let's go back to the calls. 401-737-1287, the phone number. Dan's in Cranston. Good morning, Dan. You're next on Cordishy and Coit on WEEI.
In case you haven't heard this one, did you hear that Antonio Brown and Brittany Taylor were supposed to get married?
Wait, Brittany Taylor?
What was the woman's name?
Yeah, that's right. Right.
Yeah, apparently he got cold feet.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Joke, Nick.
Cold feet.
Oh,
boom.
Don't do that. Dude, it's too early for that. Don't do that to me. Too early.
All right, that's enough of my stand-up for the morning.
Oh,
Scott, you got the best connection of anybody that's ever had a call into a radio program in the history of... You sound like you're there right now.
Well, no, I'm using radio equipment. It's called the Comrex Access, if we're going to get technical here. So I'm actually not on the phone. This is what you use to do play-by-play and what you do what you call a remote broadcast. So that's why it sounds clearer than if I were to be on the phone somewhere.
Or if I was to be on the road somewhere calling from, like, say, the Little League World Series and on the phone. I actually have to use a phone because I'm the radio guy.
In fairness to you, Nick, yeah. I know. But in fairness, you don't have this radio equipment because you're a TV guy,
right?
I have it because I do play-by-play for Brown football and basketball on the radio. Therefore, I have this equipment to be able to do this and sound clear or like I'm in studio when I'm on the road.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never understand why they schedule Miami for the second week of September or third week of September and not the second week of December or something. It just makes more sense, you know, but life goes on. So my opinion on this, Scott, at first when I was euphoric when I first heard about it, and then especially after Sunday night, after I let it marinate, I don't really like it that much at all. I think the 19-0 thing is definitely in play. You cannot think otherwise. But I'm a huge Josh Gordon guy, huge. I've always have been. And I think he's never played. The one season he played, he put up numbers that Antonio Brown would have put up. I'm not saying he's a better player right now, but he's 4 years younger. You know, if I had to pick who I would rather have on this team, if I knew that they were both going to play a whole season, I would still say Josh Gordon right now.
Well, the talent and the size and he has all the tools. It is, when he steps onto the football field and they can throw him the ball, yeah, he's got a skill set that's, you know, Antonio Brown is he's a speed guy. He's a speedster because he's not a big guy. You know, you see him in person. I saw him in person at practice this week. He's a normal sized guy. He's a burner. I mean, he runs each route and just with such speed and quickness and, you know, and going up and getting the ball. It's like he's, when he jumps up, I saw Brady throwing him a couple fades. It's like he's got springs on his feet. You know, that's what it is about Antonio Brown. He's just got all these skills, but Gordon's just huge. He's huge, and you combine that with not burning speed, but still got some decent speed. You know, and he can get separation, go up and get the ball. Like, there's so many. Yeah, if I had to choose, you know, in terms of a full-on skill set, you know, especially for the Patriots, you know, Josh Gordon works because that's a guy that, again, can go up and get the ball, and those are guys that Brady can trust, especially in the red zone.
They had different receivers. You weren't around this week, Scott, but Nick, did you notice that they're not shielding this guy anymore? Like, he's on in front of the microphone all the time now.
Oh, Gordon? Yeah, it's better than it, or more. I shouldn't say better, but like it's more. You know, he's more. They're letting him out there more for sure, and I think they try to manage it as much as they can. Especially after games, they usually, if he's talking post game, they usually bring him up to the, you know, the press conference room and he talks there. But yesterday he was in front of his locker, whatever. And so I think they're more and more, they're, you know, they manage his reps in terms of what he does with the media, but he's there. for sure.
So my problem with this is with this guy is not that he's going to ball. I get it, but his incentives are based on numbers. He needs to get 15 touchdowns or whatever it is, and so I mean, some of them don't seem like they're attainable. Well, they maybe are attainable, but they're going to have to feed him the ball at the cost of maybe others, at the risk that he's going to go off. That's what I worry about more than anything, is him just going off because he's not getting the ball in some game days the way he wants, you know?
Yeah. I just wonder, again, being down here in Miami too, my thoughts are going back to 07. Do you remember the 07 Patriots-Dolphins game down here? Tom Brady threw for 6 touchdowns in that game. 2 of them were bombs to Randy Moss. I want to say one was like a 50-yarder, one was like 35, 40-yarder. And I just wonder if that's how they're going to use Antonio Brown. They're just going to, you know, Brady's just going to let him go deep and just air it out.
Yeah, I mean, well, they've always been horny for this type of receiver. If you think about, like,
and yet they've won 6 Super Bowls. Dan, I'm sorry to interrupt. Yep. And yet they've won their 6 Super Bowls without a receiver like this. Mm-hmm. Ironically, they did not win with Randy Moss, and I'm not saying it was Randy Moss's fault by any stretch, but they've won 6 Super Bowl titles without having that absolute burner that can stretch a defense.
They've always been horny for this type of receiver. Emmanuel Sanders, they really liked. Derek Mason, smaller, fast type of guys that can run the whole tree, all the routes. This guy's on steroids. This is like the... He is the Patriot receiver, like, prototype, minus the knuckleheadedness, you know. That's the guy that they love more than anybody else. And I'll be honest with you, going back to, like, what the motivation is for this whole lawsuit, I don't take the PC route in this one because I think it totally is a money grab. The guy who's closest to it outside of Brown is Drew Rosenhaus, right? If he says it's a money grab, if he legitimately did something, Drew Rosenhaus would be screwed if it found out that, you know, he basically dismissing the whole thing. And I know it's his job, but when he says it's a money grab, it's a money grab. And I don't care if he's his agent or not. He knows the facts better than anybody else. You know, we only know the periphery thing, but he's been dealing with it, sounds like, for what, 2 years or something? So this whole thing to me, it'll blow over. I don't think there's any problem with that. My problem is what's going to happen moving forward. You know, that's just the whole problem with this guy. But yeah. Until then, let's just, you know, 65-10 tomorrow or something like that. And Scott, you could have. I remember the days of going down to Scott, but right now, I mean, you couldn't pay me to go down there to watch that game in this time of year. I wouldn't want to go down there.
Well, the good news is I have not been to the new Dolphin Stadium since they covered the stands, so at least we'll be sitting in shade tomorrow. It's going to be 90 degrees at kickoff time. I'm looking at the forecast. But they are calling for there's an increased chance of thunderstorms when the game's on. That's the greatest chance of thunderstorms. They're saying between like 1 and 5 o'clock there's like anywhere from like a 50 to 80% chance of thunderstorms. So you wonder if we're going to have some type of weather delay in the game.
Well, for old time's sake, I'll open a Coors Light tomorrow, even though I don't drink it anymore. Have a good day, guys. Take care.
You too. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it.
All right, 401-737-1287. The phone number, should we squeeze in our friend Joe in Pawtucket? Good morning, Joe.
Sure.
You're next on Cordishi and Coit on WEEI.
Good morning, Mr. Cordishi. Good morning, Nick Coit. How are you?
Good. What's up, Joe?
Good.
Hey, Joe.
If you don't mind hanging on the phone, the college football today is Clemson and Syracuse. Syracuse is at Clemson. I'm wondering if Cordishi's going to be tuning into that tonight. And
he's wearing his orange underpants today for sure. He definitely knows.
But Joe, I will absolutely be in front of my TV watching that game tonight. Now, having said that, I don't have high hopes for the Orange. I know the last 2 years they have played this team tough and great. 2 years ago, they upset Clemson at the Carrier Dome. Last year, they gave Clemson all they could handle and almost beat them down there. But this year, after what I saw last week against Maryland, I would find it hard to believe that Syracuse is going to hang with Clemson tonight. I hope I'm wrong, but I'll be rooting for my Orange.
I think they might cover the spread. It's like, what's the spread over 20?
It's like 28 points or something like that.
Yeah, I think they might cover the spread, Scott. And that guy Lawrence is not a bad quarterback. I don't know how he's going to handle the Carrier Dome, But he reminds me of Drew Bledsoe, a pocket passer, and he's tall. So I think he's going to be a good prospect in a few years, if not already. And I knew Antonio Brown was going to be with the Patriots. I had a funny feeling after last week. We were talking about that, and I think he just wanted to be on a winning team because Pittsburgh, after Pittsburgh lost Troy Polamalu, and they're all getting a little older now. The Steelers, they haven't been the same, and I think he just, like I told you, wants to be on a winning team. And my Boston College team got trounced last night by Kansas.
That's a bad loss.
Weird.
That was probably the worst loss in the Steve Addazio era at Boston College. And I know Les Miles is the new coach at Kansas, but still, that Kansas team has been inept on the road against Power 5 teams. It snapped, what was it, like a 48-game losing streak against Power 5 teams on the road, dating back to like Iowa State in, I don't know what year it was, 2010 or whatever, but... Yeah, that was a bad, bad loss for Boston College last night at home to Kansas.
Well, especially after you start the season the way you did with that nice win at home. And then, you know, oh, man. This compares to, didn't they, who they lost to Purdue, I think, like 0-3 Purdue. And who did they beat before that last year? Like, you beat BC, I don't know. After they come up with big wins, a lot of times there's just a loss that they squeeze in right after that that you're like, oh, boy.
You know, yeah, their quarterback play is not good. That's their problem. Yeah. I mean, A.J. Dillon's a terrific running back, but their quarterback play is not good.
Yeah,
Their quarterback is not that good, Boston College. He's all right, but he's not a pocket passer. He's not a thrower.
Yeah.
And I just think they're just more of a running game than a passing game.
Sure.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Well, thank you, Joe, for the call. And I appreciate it. And, you know, just getting back to what he said about Brown, Antonio Brown and Drew Rosenhaus, his agent for that matter, have to know that I'm not saying this is his last chance, but it could be, right? If he doesn't make it work here in New England, if he acts like a jackass here like he did in Oakland and to a lesser extent in Pittsburgh, there might not be another NFL team that takes a shot at him. So
I know.
I think Antonio Brown comes to New England knowing this is my best shot at redemption. If I come here and play the good soldier and do things the way I'm supposed to do, then I might be able to cash in on another big contract at the end of this season. But if I don't do those things, I might not be playing in this league much longer.
Yeah, and especially with this popping up now, too. He ought to come in and do his work and you know, put on a good show and sort of, you know, he's got to help this team. Otherwise, it's... What other chance is he going to have after this if he doesn't help this team or he doesn't make it with the Patriots? And especially with what's coming on now, it's, yeah, this is, he is spread thin for sure.
401-737-1287, the phone number. Our text line is open as well. We get a lot of texts at 37937. 1 hour down, one to go. It's Cordishy and Coit on WEEI.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.